Hello, welcome to the Girlpreneur Show. My name is Kiva Krisamuso and I am your host. Join me as I share about my journey building a successful business against all odds, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello. On today's episode, I'll be talking about how I started my business, how you can start your own business, and mistakes to avoid. I'll start by sharing a bit about myself. Growing up, like most of us, I had many dreams. I wanted to be many things. But most prominent amongst them was to be a teacher. And to be honest, it's one of the reasons why I'm starting this podcast, because I love to just share from my experience so that people can learn from it and be better for it. The other thing that, you know, really got me growing up was me wanting to be a doctor. So I had this dream where I wanted to be the one to find the cure for HIV. Really funny, because now I know that's not what doctors do. That's more of research work. I really just wanted to be able to save many lives, you know. Anyway, I went to school, I read medicine, and while I was in school, I found that I had this love for business. It all started because I had this independence streak, like most people going through the adolescent phase. And I just wanted to be able to make money for myself, to be able to get things for myself without always having to call my parents to ask for allowance. Now, I really need to say a big thank you to my parents at this point, because they did a great job of ensuring that at every point in time, my siblings and I, we had everything we needed. So it wasn't that I was lacking. I just wanted to be able to make money for myself. I just wanted to be independent. So I started to try my hands at many things to make money. One of my first businesses was a food business. I used to make coconut candy. It's a very common snack, or it used to be common while I was growing up, where coconut shavings boiled in sugar to the point where it's dry and it's molded up into balls. Really tasty snack. My coconut candy business did really well. I had the most fun doing that business. In fact, I still have this dream where I would bring that business back to life, because I had to shut it down. It was going so well, growing so fast. I had a distribution channel. I outdid myself. At some point, I would need to have friends over to help me with the production process of grating the coconuts, because I couldn't do it myself anymore. And it was starting to compete with my studies, so I had to shut it down. Anyway, later down the line, I started a custom t-shirt business. For this one, I had a business partner. He was more of the production person and graphic designer. And it did really well too. I still have some of these shirts till today, so we made some really quality shirts. I mean, this was 5 years ago. Yeah. I also started selling makeup brushes at some point with some other fashion items, dresses, shoes, blouses, and stuff like that. Now, at some point, I had this holiday where most people had gone home, and I stayed back in the town where I was schooling at the time, because I wanted to be a chef. So I'm a good cook. You don't have to agree. My husband agrees, so that's fine. And I had this dream to start a cooking business where we would cater to people who were too busy to cook for themselves, people like bankers and stuff like that. And then we even could have this service where my team could come to your house to cook for you. You know, so when I got this opportunity to get a job as a chef at an eatery, I jumped on it. So that's another thing I did. I mean, I've mentioned like 5 things. I was trying out a lot. And then I also learned hairstyling. So I apprenticed at a salon. I learned how to braid hair and all the things that come with it. My final adventure as a student, gosh, this is like 17 now, if I'm right, was a wedding dress business. It was a bridal business where we used to do wedding dresses and accessories, and it did really, really well. Now, at this point, I was just loving it. I was having fun. I was having the time of my life. And, you know, I had nothing at stake at this point. What do I mean? My parents were paying my rent. They were paying my school fees. I didn't have mouths to feed. At this point, I didn't have a family. You know, so there was really... I wasn't feeling like, oh, what if I fail? What's going to happen? And I think it really helped me to be fearless and just do things. Like, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? And I'll talk about, at the later part of this podcast, I'll talk about how that dealing with fear is a major thing you need to get right if you're going to succeed in business. So one thing I learned more about myself and my love for business along the line, which is that I have a strategic mind, and it helps me really hit the mark with everything I set out to do. Okay, so I finished school with good grades, and it was time to get a job, to start working, and it wasn't happening. Whether it's due to the crappy system in my country, or, you know, things were just not right, and it just wasn't happening. Now, if you're listening to this and you're feeling like, it's not today now, that's like a normal thing, it takes everybody a while to get a job. Well, I'm just going to say this and encourage someone out there. If you are in a situation where things are not working as planned, I will encourage you right this moment to not be a victim of circumstance. Get off your bed, ask yourself, dust yourself off and ask yourself, what do I need to do to get out of this situation and do it? Because what I did at this point was, I just couldn't sit around and wait for some miracle to happen. I had to take my life into my own hands. And I said, okay, in the meantime, let me continue with the bridal business I had started. And so that was just what I did. Now, because I have this tendency to be a perfectionist, I went all out to ensure that I had free time on my hands now. I was no longer a student. I did everything. I did my best to do everything right. And business started to thrive. We had to pivot from doing wedding dresses actually to jewelry. And that's still one of my most successful businesses to date. It's still running as I speak. Our profit margins were very encouraging. And then started to grow a team. So it grew from being a one-man, two-man show to being a team of five people, and we're still growing. So that's encouraging someone. You can make the best out of wherever you are right now. I along the line, I had to ask God, because for me, this was a personal decision. It wasn't the plan for me to do business. It was the plan for me to finish med school and become a doctor and all of that. But because I was loving this journey so much, I've had to go back to the drawing table. I've had to ask God, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? And I would say that right now, I believe that I'm right where I'm supposed to be, in the middle of purpose. And yeah. So enough about me. Let's talk about you. How do you start a business? And how do you grow it to be successful? First of all, I would say that I have an ebook that outlines how to do this and how to do it well. 7 steps to starting a profitable online business. So you can just go to www.kivaofficial.com and get a free download of my ebook. So the first thing you need to do to start a successful business is to find an idea or a product. Your business will be based on this idea or product, so you can't have a business without it. Now, to find an idea, it could either be something new. There could be a gap you've seen, a solution you've seen to a problem that exists. Or it could be an improvement on a solution that already exists. Either way, you need an idea, you need a product, and it doesn't have to be a tangible product. It could be your music. It could be that you're a blogger, you're a writer. It could be a skill you have. The next step would be to validate your idea or product. How do you do this? You'd need to do a survey. Now, social media has made things easy. Prior to now, you'd need to maybe print questionnaires and hand them out to people to fill, or, you know, have to get an email list and ask them to do a survey. What do you think about my idea? What do you think about my product? But now with social media, it's easier to do. You could just put this thing up on your status, your WhatsApp status or Instagram story, or even send a BC to a particular group of people, your family and friends, and ask them, so I have this idea to do this, this and that. What do you think? Would you pay money for it? Would you do this or do that? Now, there's this idiom, put your money where your mouth is, right? It's not enough for people to say, oh, if you do this, I'll pay for it. Or, wow, this is a really brilliant idea. When you launch it, I'll be your first customer. Your idea isn't totally validated if you are not certain that people would bring out their wallets and pay money for it. So there's something called a minimum viable product. And this is the initial workable, functioning product that you have. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you're launching out this version, this unrefined version of your product or your idea, just to see, to verify that people would actually pay for it. So it could be your music, for example, and you could just do a cover and ask people to download, maybe just for a small token or stuff like that. If it's a product, you could pre-sell. So for example, if you're selling bags, you could say, place your order, pay 50%, I deliver and you pay the balance after delivery, you know, stuff like that. So you're basically putting out this thing and you're reaffirming that people would actually pay for it. They're not just saying it. Now, remember that we're talking about building a business, not a hobby. No matter the passion you have, if people will not pay money for it, then it's just a hobby. You need to be making profit for it to be a business. Now, the final way you can validate your product is to ask, is someone already doing this thing? Now, it's easy to assume that, oh, someone is already doing this business. There's already competition. The competition is going to swallow me. I'm just a cockroach. I'm just an upcomer. But that's not entirely true. Because the fact that someone exists in that space is a pointer to the fact that there is a need, there is a demand for that thing that you have. The balance to it would be to know your unique selling point. What is that unique flavor that I bring to the market? What's that thing I will do to stand out from the competition? And then you go out there and nail it. The next thing, the third thing you need to do is to decide on a name. So quickly, some tips to the ideal name for your business. Let it be as short as possible. Keep it short, keep it sweet. You want to make it easy to spell or easy to pronounce. Easy to spell because if you are telling someone your business name, someone you just meet, you're networking, when they go back home, if they do not have your card or stuff like that, how easy will it be for them to find you? You know, as much as possible, you want to choose a name that would stick. Avoid putting geographical mentions in your name. Something like ABC Lagos or ABC Nigeria, as much as you can, if you can help it. Avoid fads. So for example, because you need to have an Instagram handle for your name and maybe the name you want is taken, I have this joke where it seems like all the good names are taken, right? But it will take a while for you to find that perfect name, because the truth is that a lot of the good names are already taken. But you do not now want to have your name having a hyphen or an underscore or a full stop in between because you're trying to adapt it to Instagram. So you need to work out that balance. Now, you need to also check that your name is available as a social media handle, and it's the final thing you need to do when you're choosing your name. When you're choosing your social media handles, you also need to check that the domain name, which is what would be your website address when you decide to build one, is available. So you choose a name, ABC Concept. So is ABC Concept available as a handle? Is www.abcconcept available as a domain name? So you choose a domain name, which is the next thing. And then the next thing is to register your business name with the legal authorities. In Nigeria, that would be the CAC, Corporate Affairs Commission. And your naming process isn't final until you do this. Why is that? You don't want to choose a name and you find out that that name is already taken with the legal authorities. It means that you do not own that name, you know. You can take it a step further by trademarking. If this is a name that you've decided that you're building for the long haul, you call up your lawyer and have them trademark that name so that nobody else can trade with it. The next thing would be to define your target market. How do you do this? There's something called demographics. It comprises of things like age, gender, socioeconomic status, and some other traits. So you're asking yourself, what age group? What's the age group of the people I'm trying to reach out to? If you're selling gadgets, for example, maybe really cool gadgets, really modern gadgets, you're looking at people within ages of, say, 18, 20 to about 35, 40. Not that the older people or the people that are younger than this do not sell, but you're taking the an average. You just pick out an average amongst the population of people that will need your product, your service, your idea. You're also asking yourself, what's their gender? Would they be male, female, or is it gender neutral? Their socioeconomic status. So how much of stuff can these people afford? So that will determine whether you're trying to run a premium model where your prices are high, but you're giving more value, or whether your prices are low and you're stripping it down to the barest version of your product. Also, where do your customers shop? Are they on social media? Are they on Facebook or Instagram? Where do they go? Are they on LinkedIn and stuff like that? Now, this is very important because the next step here is to promote your product, and you need to know where to sell. So to be able to promote your product, you need to know your target market, and then you sell where they are. So, like the example I gave earlier, if you're selling to age group 20 to 35, most and maybe people that earn an average of 300 to 500,000 naira per month, a lot of these people will be on Instagram. So you know that you have to have an Instagram page. You know, so that's selling where your target market is. If you're selling, for example, to the older generation, maybe people that are aged 50 and above, for example, you want to have a strong offline footprint. So you might need to have a brick and mortar store, or you partner with someone that has one. You might need to go with traditional methods of marketing like billboards and newspaper ads and stuff like that. But if you are reaching out to younger generation, people who are more cool, hip, you need to maximize online media. You need to be on Google. When people go on Google to search, where can I buy this? Where can I find this? How do I get this? You want to ensure that your website comes up. That's called search engine optimization, commonly called SEO for short. You also want to run ads. So again, depending on the age group, you can run ads on Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads as well. And a common thing that people overlook is partnerships. You can partner with businesses, even on social media. You could ask a business to give you a shout out. You know, this podcast is mainly focusing on how to start. So I'll be speaking more on how to promote, how to sell, how to make profit in subsequent episodes. So I'm just going to keep this really short. How else can you promote your products? Word of mouth, referrals. So one person buys from you, you ask that person for feedback, and you ask the person to refer someone else to you. The feedback you also get from this, your first, second, third customer, you put it up on your social media page, and like we would say, you loud it in quotes, so that more people can see, oh, people are buying from her, people seem to love what she's selling, and it will be a positive feedback. More people will come back as a result of the feedback that your previous customers are giving you. And finally, is selling to family and friends. Now, I'm going to talk about this on mistakes to avoid, where it's very common for you to start a business and want to focus on selling to just family and friends, but that will only limit you, right? So I'll talk about that going forward. So that's that on how to start your business and just get to it. You are now on your way to being the next Dangote or the next Otedola. Now let's talk about mistakes to avoid on your way to building a successful business. Ideally, this should be me talking about the mistakes I made and how you can avoid them. But if I'll be honest, I have made few mistakes. Not that I haven't made any, but my first point here would be have mentors. Because I had mentors in the initial stages of building my business, it has really helped me avoid having so many mistakes. So if you're asking me, Kiva, how can I have a mentor? Where do I find one? Well, I would say go and search. Who are the best people in your industry right now? Search on Google, search on social media, and see if you can reach out to these people. But before you even reach out to them, because a mentoring relationship is such a sensitive one, these people are busy, and for them to be able to give you of their time, you also have to be willing to learn and be offering some value in return. So I would recommend that you even learn from them from afar for a while. You can read their biography, you can read books that they've written. Some of them even have mentoring programs where you can just sign up for, and that just makes things easy for you. So mentors. Now the next thing would be have a vision and set goals. So you're asking yourself, 5 years from now, where do I see this business going, this business I'm about to start? Trust me, if you are not going to even have a long-term vision for this thing you're starting, and you just think it's all about today, I just want to make some quick cash on the side, then you probably have no business doing that business in the first place, because a vision is what will keep you going. A business is what will keep you going as the going gets tough. It's what will keep you moving. It's like you have something in front, in view, that you're moving towards. And in order to reach that vision, that place you have in mind, you need to set goals. So you have short-term goals, mid-term goals, long-term goals. These are the things I need to do every day to be able to get to where I'm going. These are the things I need to do on a monthly basis. These are the things I need to do. Oh, by 6 months from now, I should have a new employee handling this and that. So you need to have goals. Now, another thing would be the issue of fear. So, you know, I had mentioned earlier that on my journey, I had started doing lots of things at a young age when I didn't have much at stake. If you're listening to this and you have a lot at stake, you're much older, you have a family to feed, you need to be able to fend for yourself, you need to be able to move yourself around town, transportation, and all of that, you have more at stake. So you might be, fear might be holding you back, because you feel like, if I leave everything and start this business, I put my all into this business, what if it fails? How will I eat the next day? How would I, you know, be able to pay for my child's school fees and stuff like that? Well, here's what I'll say to you. You need to be able to balance things out. In as much as I would encourage you this moment to do things afraid, you need to get out of bed and do what you need to do. I would also encourage you to count the cost. This is where having a business plan comes in. If you need help drawing out a plan for your business, feel free to reach out to me. Send me a message, or you could send me a DM even on social media, and I would respond to you. because you need this. It's going to help you take a calculated risk. Most of the time, there's reward on the other end when you take a risk. So you need to count the cost. Take out your pen and paper and draw out a plan. This is what I need to do. This is how much it will cost me to do it. And this is the projected profits or projected revenue. In 3 months' time, I should be making this and that amount and all that. So you need to conquer fear. Either you're conquering fear early because you do not have you don't have much at stake right now, or you're just conquering fear because you have no choice. You have to just take that leap because there are good things on the other end when you take that leap. The next thing I would say is learn. You have to keep learning. I have had to learn on the job for most of the businesses that I have run. I've done a food business where it was not that I went to a cook school to learn how to do some of those things, but I had to just keep learning. Right now, there's so much information on the internet you can learn from. You can learn from people that have done it before. You can surround yourself with the right kinds of friends that are also, you know, have similar goals to what you have, and you guys can learn from each other, encourage each other. I would like to cite this example. In the early years of my business, there would be times where someone would come and ask me for a version of my product that I wasn't, you know, I didn't know how to give yet. Maybe a version of the services that I was rendering that I didn't know how to give yet. And it wasn't every time that I would just say, oh, sorry, I don't do that. I'm not interested. Sometimes I had to just take a risk and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I had to go back and learn how to do that thing. Ask around. Ask people who have done it before. Okay, how do I go about it? And I find that it really helped me grow. Because it was like the customers were saying something to me. They were saying to me, oh, we know that you offer this, but this is the demand that we have. Are you willing to meet that demand? And same goes for you. You need to learn to hear what your customers are saying to you and run with it as it applies to you. As always, you have to apply the balance to that. Anyway, and finally, selling to family and friends. I said I was going to talk about this. So I see so many people who just restrict themselves to selling to people that are around them, maybe selling to your friends, people at your office, or people in church, and it just ends there for them. And I'm like, oh wow, the world needs this thing that you have. Why are you not, again, lauding it? Why are you not going on Google to run ads? Why don't you have a website where people can find you when they need this thing? Why are you not on social media telling the world about this awesome service that you render? Is it the fear? I think some of us are just afraid that if I do this, people will not buy it or people will laugh at me. And again, I'm going to talk about fear. You have to be willing to be vulnerable to break that jinx of fear. So that's that on today's episode of The Girlpreneur Show. I hope you've learned a lot. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. Till next time, see you guys. Hey, you made it to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something meaningful. If you did, please go on iTunes and rate us. Also, do a screenshot, share to your Instagram feed or story, and tag The Girlpreneur Show, or use hashtag The Girlpreneur Show or The GPS, and I'll be sure to repost. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Bye.